Hey folks, Dan Frio here with your market close for February 12th, 2025. So what in the world happened today? So if you're just logging in and you didn't check out the news this morning, there was inflation numbers that came out, the consumer inflation, the CPI, and it was higher than expected. And I wasn't expecting this, and a lot of analysts weren't expecting this either. We thought it would tick down, and otherwise it ticked up. So let's get over to what happened today, and let's see if this is going to continue, or is this kind of a blip in the radar. So let's get over to it. Here's what we saw so far today. We have the MBS market is down 36 ticks. Here, let me get that over to here for you. This is the chart of the day. This is right when we came out in the market opened, and this is when the news came out. It just plummeted from there. Okay, and then we did recover some a little bit. It was down 50-something at some point. Now we're only down 36. So we did have some reprieve. What's coming tomorrow? Well, let's look at the equities right now. Equities were down big this afternoon, and they rallied back through right through here. I'll take the positive gains there. Oil's down, which is fantastic on the inflation front that we saw today. So we just need oil back in the 60s, and it'll help inflation. Treasury also going down based on this information. So what happened today? Well, here's the information that came in. So tomorrow we're going to have some producer inflation and also initial jobless claims. But here's the numbers that came in that shocked the markets. So we have one number that came in, but it's three variations. One is what they call core. And then they also say YOY and MOM. So what is all this? So the core CPI is basically inflation, but they pull out food and energy. That's because it's hugely volatile. You can see oil every day. It's up and down. Egg prices are record highs right now. So that's why they pull out a lot of these components. And it's like, okay, what else do you guys have that you pay for? Well, that's what the core CPI means. MOM means month over month. Okay, so here's what we saw. Last reading, it was up 0.2. It was expected to increase just a tad to 0.3. It actually doubled from where it was. You have to look at it that way. It doubled from 0.2 to 0.4. Not good news. But here's the headline numbers that we're getting. So the headline numbers on 2.9, they're expecting it to stay steady. I thought we were going to get a little reprieve here because of housing, but I got some bad news for you on housing insurance. Hopefully you watched our live video today. I'll hopefully post that up here for you guys to watch. We interviewed Nico. Nico used to be on our team, and he's now in the insurance business, and I wanted him to explain to you guys what insurance, you know, everything about insurance. So check out the live event that we had, and I'll post that right up through here. But here's the catalyst that caused today's debacle. We were at 2.9. It went to 3. Okay, so that's basically what we saw. So now they're saying, okay, inflation's out of check. But here's a great interview I want you guys to see. And the context here is, well, you'll get the point. They're saying, and you also have the biggest piece of the CPI is housing inflation, or the equivalent rents of a home. Let's get their take on it. They're going to talk about some other different things, but they do come around to this. If you have rents just insurance just skyrocketing, it's going to push up everybody's housing payment. It doesn't matter if you rent or you own. So that alone, you have insurances up 20, 30, 40, 50% in some areas. That's going to push these inflationary numbers. Is it a true way to read that? So let's get over to, he's a former Dallas president of the Federal on all this. And then I'll give you all my comments when he's done.
Right. Not least because of the tariff news. How should they be gearing for that? I mean, seems like a lot of talk and then not much action. But then at the same time, there's this steady drumbeat of tariffs that are actually going into effect.
Yeah, I mean, listen, most CEOs, they start with, by and large, in every industry, they're excited and optimistic about regulatory relief and maybe more of a cost-benefit analysis on regulation. So that's a sign of encouragement. There's a hope that we will have a more organically driven private sector-led economy. On the other hand, it's unclear how the DOGE project will unfold and how much cuts are we going to be able to do at the federal government level. It's unclear how far we're going to go with the deportations and whether we're going to have significant, meaningful workforce growth, or might we inadvertently shrink the workforce? And a lot of companies I talk to are very concerned about being able to find workers. And the tariff issue is about supply chains and logistics, and in particular, relating to Mexico and Canada.
Right.
If you're going to have trade dispute with China, you want to have ideally the ability to reshore and use Mexico and Canada to some extent for logistics, supply chain arrangements, but those aren't completely clear either. So just people are going a little more slowly, putting one foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. But the impact of going more slowly and more deliberately is maybe you're not going to be as aggressive here for a while as you might have been.
I just wonder, Robert, it's Brian, what the Fed can do about things like home insurance rates or auto insurance. You know, we saw owner's equivalent rent go up, and I'm thinking, well, if you make it harder to buy a home, people have to live somewhere, they're going to rent because they can't afford to buy, so rents might actually go up. I just wonder what the Federal Reserve can do when it comes to some of these insidious forms of inflation that are not just necessarily tied to a slowing economy.
So we're in one of these rare periods, if you look versus the last 5 or 6 years, I would argue the Fed is shifting for a while here off stage. We're moving to a more whole of government approach to economic policy and fighting inflation. So some of the issues you talked about, the Fed can't do a lot. Also, I think, and I think Scott Bessent may have said this, I think the administration's more focused on the 10-year Treasury than the Fed funds rate and moves they can make that might keep this term premium on the back end from inching up, which is affecting the cost of a lot of financial services that you just talked about. It's affecting rents. It's affecting mortgage rates. And so I think for the time being, I think you'll see the Fed kind of move a little bit quietly off to the side, be more muted, try not to be in the middle of the headlines, and fiscal policy and other executive actions, the federal government are more center stage. And I think you're going to see, again, a more whole of government approach to dealing with these issues. And we're in the middle of that, but we're in the early stages of the middle of that.
So what did he just say? Okay, so basically he didn't know. There's a lot of stuff to come. If you noticed what he said, he's like, well, we're trying to still figure out what are tariffs going to do? What's the immigration policy is going to do? What's this going to do? But the one good thing is a lot of the markets are now starting to focus in on, like the President Trump's doing right now and his team, is the 10-year Treasury, okay? Because it's our national debt that really is funneling that stuff. The federal funds rate is, I hate to say it, it's kind of irrelevant. We want to focus in on the national debt, a lot of the other things like that, because mortgage rates are part of that national debt piece, because here's what happens is mortgages are tied to a mortgage bond, okay? And that's what we follow every day. And this is basically right through here. This is the MBS chart that I bring up every day. Okay, so this is let's say it's in competition with U.S. Treasuries. Okay, so here's what I mean. All these things are bonds. So when the federal government doesn't have enough money, they issue bonds. Okay, when corporations don't have enough money and they want to raise some money, they issue bonds. What does mortgages do to get in money to lend out to mortgages? It's bonds. So you have this huge glut of our national debt out there as bonds. You also have, and I mentioned yesterday on our live event when we had the Federal Reserve on there, I said the Federal Reserve is also right now in quantitative tightening mode. Okay, here's what that means. How did rates get all the way down to 2% and 3%? Well, the Fed was in the system and they were buying mortgage-backed securities in the tune of $40 billion a month. $40 billion a month, okay? That what they were doing is they were buying up all the market, and thus they were pushing up the prices because they're bidding whatever they want, and it's driving down the yields. Okay, so now what's happening is you have all this federal debt, you have all this corporate debt, and now you even have the Federal Reserve selling their mortgage bonds and other bonds. That's giving a huge glut in the market. Okay, so what's happening is prices are coming down because people don't want this. What happens when prices go down? There's too much of something. Well, in this case, yields or mortgage rates go up. Okay, so that's one of the catalysts that we're seeing right now. And then when we start seeing the inflation numbers not working the way the Federal Reserve wants them to, that even gives them more reason not to do anything with rates. So this was a great interview today with that. So we're going to focus in on more of the 10-year Treasury. Us that the government and the Fed is actually looking at. Their Fed's going to move along to the side. So that's what we're seeing right through there. So mortgage rates, like I said, they ticked up. What's coming out tomorrow? Well, there's two pieces of information coming out tomorrow. We have initial jobless claims. I'm not even going to guess on that one. And then we have the producer price index. We're going to see how that's going. I think we got the jolt in everything today right through here. I don't really think there's much of a more of a deterioration that can happen tomorrow, but I can always be wrong. So that's what we're waiting for tomorrow. So we have the producer inflation coming in tomorrow morning. Claims. So these are two areas that the Fed really looks at. They want how many jobs are out there, because they have two mandates: maximum employment and then keeping prices in check, aka inflation. So tomorrow we have initial jobless claims, which is employment, and then we have the inflation numbers on the producer side of the equation. So that's why tomorrow is going to be a big day. Let's get over and see, is there any changes in what the Federal Reserve is expected to do at the next few meetings? He said they're probably just going to pause. So let's go over to our go down and look at the probabilities to see if any of these things are changing. Well, nope, we're still back to, it's still showing us now October. I think this morning was September, but maybe, I don't know if it was the same, but we're now looking at, there's probably not going to be a rate cut until at least October, but there's a lot of data that's going to come in between now and then, so only pay attention to that. But if you're looking to buy that first house, here's a nice transition over. You guys might ask, what do I do? Well, my name is Dan Frio. I'm actually, hopefully, your nationwide mortgage loan officer. Why? Well, our slogan here is this: one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. How do we do that? I'll be posting the video out tomorrow afternoon showing you exactly that. Okay, so reach out to me and find out more about me and my team. Just go to theRateUpdate.com. You're going to put in your application right up through there. Here's what I am. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico, so that's why I'm your nationwide mortgage loan officer. Here's the other cool thing is, I work at a bank that's federally chartered, but we're also set up with 30 lenders, and I counted them today. I'm meticulous on this because I have people saying, Dan, how many do you work with? It is actually 30 right on the button. So what does that mean? Well, if you have the ability to call 30 different banks and get quotes every day and then figure out who's got the best rate and programs and everything for you, God bless you. Go ahead and do that. I'd love to partner with you. Basically, from application stage to the day where you get your keys in your hand, or maybe that check because you refinance. So you can reach out to me at therateupdate.com. You can put in your application right up through here. That was just updated today. You can also schedule a consultation with me or Alan. So click here and see if there's any availabilities that you can talk to us. But if you want to jump in the front of the line, let me tell you, just go down through here and email me. Okay, this number is still out. I've been working with a company called Dialpad for 3 days now to get that number turned back on. But this is out right now. So if you're trying to call us, I apologize. Please email me at dan@theRateUpdate. Any questions, concerns, issues, anything you need, I'd love to help you and assist you. So let me know what your question is or your concern. Give me your name and phone number. Love to call you, go over that question with you, and maybe some other questions that you might have for me. So thanks so much for watching. God bless. Have a fantastic afternoon. Stay warm, because we're supposed to get a blizzard here in Chicago. So I might be out shoveling later tonight. Take care. See you tomorrow, folks. Bye-bye.